1904, middle of World War II, married in 1944. My parents got married in 1946. That's my father's Shas. Okay, let's just begin. So we were learning the last few weeks, Tosus, Beis of Aleph. We're now up to the final stage of Tosus. Alkeno Marie, a little bit of background. The problem is the very first line in Shas is ignored by Klal Yisrael. Imagine the very first line in Shas is ignored by Klal Yisrael. The first line in Shas is the Eimas Ikon Shema Ve'Av and Mishosh and Gohan Mechas Nechad Uchumasa, which means Tesek Ochavim. And Rashi already points out that they didn't do that. They used to daven earlier. We have to figure out later how much earlier and what exact details. But they daven earlier. So let's chazer again. So Rashi said that the real Shema is Alamita. Tosi has four kashas. We spent the whole day defending Rashi against all kavas. We entered all four kashas. Fine. Last week, the Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam said, nope. Kriyat Shema in the shul is the ikar. Why? Because we passed it from Plaga Mincha and on. It's considered to be a Laila, as is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now, it's true that the Gemara says you have a choice. Take your picks. Okay. So we pick Rabbi Yehuda. Once in a while, we pick Rabbanan. We want to have Mincha late, last minute. Okay. So it says Tata de Sasri. So he's pointed out last week at length that, in my opinion anyway, Tata de Sasri only is permissible from one day to the next, which is itself, as we saw in the Mordechai, somewhat of a contradiction. An inconsistency, we'll call it that. So inconsistency is okay. Contradiction is not okay. So if on Tuesday I'll daven mincha until the sun sets, and on Friday, giving it Friday is a good example, on Friday, because that's when we most of these don't do it, I'll make an early Shabbos. If I'll daven mara before the sun sets, that's for a good reason, that's okay. It's for a bit tzibur, Kabbalah, Tosefes Shabbos, well, all kinds of reasons, some look better than others. But the same day, daven both mincha and mara within that range between plaga mincha and sunset, seems to me, is not allowed by anybody. Not in the Rishonim, and not even in the classical Achronim. There is an exception. The Mishnah Berurah can be read two ways. I read it my way, others read it differently. The Derech HaChaim. The Derech HaChaim, by the famous Nesivos, he seems to say, based, I guess, on his read of the Rishonim, that in a pinch, he's not saying you should do it, but in a pinch, to make a minyan, a this and that, you can have a Mincha and a Marav both in that same zone, which is what goes on in many communities, which again, it seems to me there's really very little source for it, but I found that at least one of the Achronim says it, and some say Pshat Mishnah Berurah that way. But again, I don't want to repeat last week's shiur. That's what I feel. Now we come to the last part of Tosfos. We had problems with Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is talking about Laila with Tfilas, with Mincha with Tfilas, Marav with Korban Ben Arbayim. What does it do with Zman Shriva? Shachma? How does it help? So we gave an answer. Which is based on the bottom of Tos Beis and Beis, that doesn't say Beferish Laila, it says B'shach B'cha, and B'shach was a code word for Laila, and it's only a code word, we can be more liberal in our definition of what's considered to be Laila, including what the Miri called a Srach Laila, a smacks of night. For Plaga Mincha, you can make Kiddush, you make Abdullah, etc. This is all last week. Now we come to the last phase of Tos. Al Kain Omeri. Three rejected Rabbi Natam because of the contradictory aspects and other reasons. So what does he say? The Vaday Kriya Shema Shal Beis HaKnesses Ika. V'onosh HaMispalin is the last seven narrow lines. V'onosh HaMispalin Arvis Mibod Yom. How can we daven Arvis so early? And it's very important to understand what Mibod Yom means. We'll have to analyze it shortly. Svirulan Kahani Tanoi De Gemara. The Amri Mishosh HaKiddush Hayom. V'gam Mishosh HaMneodan Nechnosim LaHosef. The Hainu Sudas Erev Shabbos. V'hi Hoysen Mibod Yom. We may also show habis man tefillah. Now, there's some time which is unspecified as of yet. It's called mibaod yom when it's still day, which is before teisuk kachavim. It's clear that teisuk kachavim is the benchmark. Shah shakehod nechas nechav betrumasam. It's clear the Gemara says five lines from the bottom. It says, what does it mean? Kachli trumasam b'shas teisuk kachavim. Listen, b'shas teisuk kachavim. Right, that's what it should really say. Moses says, "Derech Agav, you learned something else." Fine, but it's clear in the Gemara, the Mishnah is referring to Tezek Achav, and the three stars come out. There's some earlier time, which is unspecified, called Mibod Yom. That's the time. Now, Tosfos makes reference to the Gemara. We should take a quick look and see the Gemara just to see it in its original form on that Beis of Beis. The Gemara discusses Me'emas Haraschil Likros Shema Be'Aris. We'll read it from the Brisa, which is about a third way down, a little asterisk on the side. Mishosh and Neodim Nechnosim Lechel Pitan Barvish Abbas, the Rav Meir. Bechachar Momin, Mishosh HaKohanim Zakon Lechel B'Shemosim. Let's go a little bit further. Another price, two-thirds of the way down. Neimasai, Maschil, Nikro, Shema. Again, everything starts with Neimasai. The line starts with Neimasai, but there's no star this time. Mishah, Shekideh, Sheyom, Bar, Mishabos. This is Div Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Shua, Rebbe Shah, Kaham, Turor, Nechal, Bechumas. Rebbe Shua is, in fact, our Tanakh, our Mishnah. Rebbe Meir, Omer. Mishah, Shekhamanam, Tov, Nechal, Bechumas. Omer, Rebbe Yudah, Balokon, Rebbe Mojo, Rebbe Tov. That's the toast we saw last week. Rebbe Chanina, Rebbe Mishah, Shah, Nechal, Nechal, Pidah, Bemelech. Some say Mishah Shirabonim Meonim Nechasim LaHasev, and going into details of Ani Mekarim Chatshir, which I'm not going into right now. There's some kind of early time which is considered to be Be'od Yom. We don't know how far Be'od Yom it is. Okay, this is what Tosfos is referring to here. The reason referring to. We pass like those unspecified times of the various times of the Brisa. There's a very important line coming up, which is a very important understanding. V'gam Raya. Ever see the word V'gam Raya? It's in the last narrow line of Tosfos. The Rav have a matzni shel Shabbos ve'erev Shabbos, u'mistom agama yakore kriya shma. What's that doing here? It's a riot to what? To whom? What is it a riot to? Ooh, it doesn't fit in this line. I believe if you look in the back in the Marasha, I think it's the Marasha, he points out this line is shalom komo. The gam raya, yeah. It's the second Marasha in Shas. Gamraya, the Rav of a Master Shal Shabbos, Rav Shabbos, and Mestam Melchuli. The Ram and the Mavonim Li. The Zuaraya and the Machras Klal appearish Ri. To the Pirish Rashi Nami, the Akrish Malami Tasso. Mikomakom, Tfilas Arvis, and Mibod Yom. It proves nothing. What does it prove? It doesn't prove anything. What's going on? Diria Rosh Yosin Nechonim, I'm skipping a few lines. Shakhevi Zuaraya, the Rav of a Master Shal Shabbos, Rav Shabbos. Oh, we saw last week. The Fipirish Rabbeinu Tam. Oh, it's a riot to Rabbeinu Tam. Then it's a good riot. There's a count of a flag of Mincha. It's in the wrong place. This should have been about before today's Shia. This is a riot for last week's Shita. I'm just pointing out, it's going to be very misleading. The Mashal points out. Okay, so put that line aside for the moment. Back to the Gemara. Mikol also on a riot smashma, the Kriya Shmosha Beis HaKnesses, he Iker. Now you notice Rabbeinu Tam got back into the action over here. This is a proof that the Marasha is right, because we thought Rabbeinu Tam was already done. No, he's back here, back and better than ever. Shahoyah Regilin Likros Kriyashma Kodam Tfilosam. Kemoshan or Regilin Loma Ashrei Tchila. For also Kriyashma Eina El Lama Bitfila Mitov Divrei Torah. Umikan Nirid Mishakori Kriyashma Hamitoso Shein Levorech. Right, no bracha, because after all, he already fulfilled Shema and Shul. The Gamenim of the Torah Likros Ela Parsha Rishon, as opposed to the Rav Amram Gom, who said you make a bracha Likros a Shema when you say Shema Lamita, because he didn't fulfill it the first time around. And presumably, if you want to be a purist, you have to read all three parshas. He already pointed out that Rashi defended himself by saying only the first parsha is Doraisa, so only the first parsha he really considered to be Kriya Shema, etc. Fine. This leaves us with really one. Yeah, I have a question.
Would women saying Kriya Shema Lamita make a bracha?
Many women say Kriya Shema, they don't daven Marv. Most women don't daven Marv. Many women don't daven Shachos either, for that matter. So that Milcha, but Marv is, even the Mishnah Berurah, who's strict about Shachos, and Milcha says Marv is a Rishus, and they never accepted it upon them as a Rishus. I would say most women don't daven Marv. I think it's a safe statement to make. So when they say Shema, Alamita, for them it's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which although they are Potter, Ravchav, the mission of the Potter, we have a general rule, this is from Ashkenazim, that when you fulfill the mitzvah of your potter from, you still make a brocha, they wouldn't make a brocha on the lulav, etc. The answer is what we spoke about last time. We pass it against Rav Amram Gon. According to Rav Amram Gon, maybe Rebbe and Amram Gon, when she went to sleep, maybe she made a brocha likwas hashma. I guess she probably did. I told her to do so. But my wife doesn't. And the reason is, as we pointed out last week, that our psak against Rav Amram Gon is that since Chazal metakein a kind of a birchas krishma, three brochas, birchas hashevach v'odah, surrounding the Kriya Shema, they therefore decided not to institute a Birchas HaMitzvah on it. Remember, they had the Balamor. The Balamor held you don't make a bracha on Shofar for the same reason. We don't accept it, but here we do accept it. So we never make a bracha with the Kriya Shema. Never, ever. It doesn't exist. Okay, even Rabbi Neon, who quotes Rabbi Magon, disagrees with him. He has a different suggestion. Maybe Avas Olam should be a bracha. Can you imagine that? Say Avas Olam twice. Avas Olam in Ma'ariv, as Tars Birchus Krishma. And Avas Olam, before you go to sleep at night, you're saying the real Krishma as a Birchus Mitzvah. There is a Gemara later on that Avas Olam made Birchus Torah, but that's not the topic for right now. The big topic right now is, what is the cutoff point according to the Shita of the Ri, and how in the world would the Ri, if someone follows the Ri, how will they get out of the problem of Tata Sastra, if such a problem exists? So this requires a beginning of an analysis as to the Jewish calendar. I was in the Sfarim store yesterday. I bought a sefer. You know, I can't afford to buy too many Sfarim because you can really go broke. But one sefer, because I bought two Sfarim on two things I consider my quote-unquote specialties. One on Zmanin and one on Bishul B'Shabbos. So I saw two Sfarim, so two new things just came out. So those are two Sfarim I bought. So one of them, I just looked at the table of contents. It looked very nice. And the question became, he talks about Tata Sastra. I saw, I really didn't see what he said, to be honest. But what are really the Zmanin? So the way we analyze this is to look on the Tosas, Rebbe Osai, and that Beis and that Gimel. I guess we can say we now officially turn the page finally after about four shiurim to that Beis and the Beis. Finally, we're only on the first four words though. Dilma bias oro. But in that context, Tosas gives a little bit of a clue of what's going on in the daily calendar. Tosas introduces us to a number of concepts talking about zricha. When the sun rises, we know that it's Nates, right? Nates Achamah, Zrichas HaShemesh, okay? And Tosis introduces us to a different concept, which is Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar means dawn. And of course, in the same context, Tosis teaches us about a number of other concepts. One is what he calls over here, towards the end of the Tosis. After the word Tesek HaChavim, B.S. Orwell, he calls Tchilos HaShol Shchias HaChamah. Tosas is now introducing to a whole new world that we have to analyze briefly. Otherwise, you just don't know what's flying here. You just don't know what Aleph Beis. This is this year is going to be henceforth an Aleph Beis year, just in terms of the getting used to the times of the day. Otherwise, you don't know what we're talking about. So let's just take a typical day. We're coming close to it now. We're holding in mid-February. And a month from now, approximately, will be the equinox. The equinox, the halachic equinox, anyway, is a day when, I guess that's what it means in the secular calendar too, when the day and the night are even times, when sunrise and sunset are. So although it's not quite that way in New York, but in the ideal day, the sun rises at 6 a.m. and sets at 6 p.m. Just as the classical equinox day. That's indisputable. It's a 12-hour day somewhere there in the middle of March. And at that day, the sun rises at 6 and ends at 6. Again, depends where you are. If you're in Boston, if you're in Pittsburgh, obviously things change with our clock. Our clock is only approximation, Eastern Standard Time. But somewhere around that's 6 to 6. But. So the question is, what are the times, what other halachic times are there? Let us begin by discussing the morning. The morning is a little bit easier. The morning, there exists a kind of Alos HaShachar. In Alos HaShachar, it's quite clear that the gap in time between Alos HaShachar and Neitz HaChamah is considerable. How considerable is a little bit unclear. For example, Tosis says over here that the shear is 5 mil. 5 mil. It's true that Tosis is measuring 5 mil at the end of the day, but Tosis is simply quoting a Gemara. Take a look on the, you can read sideways, Kedithi B'Psachim Tzadigim on the base, and there it says that same gap of time between Alos HaShachar and sunrise exists between sunset and what the Gemara calls Tesek HaChavim. And what is it? Tosafot quotes as being 5 mil. If you look at many of the Mefarshim, they say 5 mil? That's an impossibility. If you look carefully in the Gemara, 5 mil is rejected. And what is the number? What is the accepted number? Anybody know what the accepted number is? Anyone know? 4 mil. 4 mil. 4 mil is different than 5 mil, obviously it's a 20% difference. And Tosis is at first glance a pella, how they can quote a half mil or 5 mil, when in reality it's 4 mil. Okay, there's a lot to be said about that. I'm not going to, if we don't bring Gemara Pesachim, we can't even discuss that in detail. But just keep in mind 5 or 4. Perhaps even a more significant question, perhaps, is how long is a mil? What's a mil? A mil is a space measurement. Anyone know how long a mil is?
1,000 steps.
2,000 amas. I guess each step is 2 amas, and you're right. A mil is 2,000 amas. That's clear in Shas. Shir Erev Tchumen, for example. 2,000 amas. Of course, we don't know how much is an amma. Somewhere between a foot and a half and 2 feet, that we know it's somewhere in that range. So I always like to say that a mil is approximately a kilometer. Think metric. It's approximately a kilometer, right? Who knows how many feet is a kilometer? Anybody? If you think metric, you don't know anymore. It's a kilometer. But kilometer is approximately 5/8 of a mile. That's what Rabbi was taught as a kid. And a mile is what? 5,280. So you have, can you do the math on your thing there? What's 5/8 of 5,280? That'll give you approximately the number we're looking for.
It's going to take a while.
It doesn't happen almost in a flash. Okay, forget about it. You'll see it's approximately a kilometer, whatever it is. We walk a kilometer quite quickly. We can walk a mile if you walk quickly in 15, 20 minutes. A kilometer being 5/8 of that, you could probably walk it and just do the math. 10 to 12 minutes, probably, something like that. But no one says a mil is that short. Nobody. The shortest mil that's on record is 18 minutes. That's the famous 18-minute matzahs, for example, it says in the Gemara. Although someone just told me now a new thing, 13.5-minute matzahs that come out in Breuers. Where they got that from? We know where the 13.5 comes from. That's 3/4 of a mil. Now that's a very serious halachic number, 3/4 of a mil. I just thought I showed me matzahs. I don't understand. Truth, all matzahs are done in 5 minutes. That's the real truth. But creating a new number for it is a new part of the new chumash we're living in. Anyway, where does the number 3/4 come from? Because the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that the time lag between sunset and Tetzach HaKochavim is 3/4 of a mil. This is the most obvious question in the world. What a contradiction. Here, the Tosfos quotes from Pesachim Tzadik Gimel between sunset and Seis is 4 or 5 mil. Take the lower one, 4. And the Gemara on Shabbos of Lamed Daled says that between sunset and the stars coming out is 3/4 of a mil. You're off by a factor more than 5 to 1. And this is not a clerical error. This is worse than the $50 million that the yeshiva is short. I mean, what kind of accounts do they have over here? I mean, the yeshiva is not off by more than 5 to 1. The budget is more than 5 times that. So what's going on over here? Who made this mistake? This kasha bothers everybody. There's two fundamentally accepted approaches to this conundrum. The first is what we find here in Tosfos, which is Shitas Baal HaTosfos. Most famous the name of Rabbeinu Tam. If someone asks you this Shabbos, do you keep Rabbeinu Tam? So until I made you know what they're talking about, after today you'll know what they're talking about. Rabbeinu Tam is the one who said that the real zman is 4 mil, we'll say, it's the argument. It's like 4 mil after the sun sets beneath the horizon. That's basically what the Gemara says in Pesachim. 4, 5, we'll leave it at 4, just as a smaller one. 4 mil. When people tell you 72 minutes, you've heard about that one. 72 minutes, that's their quote, the lowest estimate of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says it's 4 mil, not 5. And the lowest estimate is 18, not 22 or 24, yeah. So you put it's the shortest and the longest, right? The shortest version of the longest man is 72 minutes. So there are many people to this day, chassidim and the people in the yeshiva, people say they will not do any malacha until 72 minutes after the sun's demishul. They'll strike the match with Havdalah candle before that. But all right, they don't yell Shabbos at us. So that is the Rabbeinu Tam's view. Of course, the problem is going to Rabbeinu Tam. What's this Gemara in Shabbos? About 3/4 of a mil. So the answer is exactly what we see in Tosfos of Beis and Beis, where Rabbeinu Tam makes the following observation. Rabbeinu Tam says, "Da'ainu tchilasa shel shkiyas achama, v'tchilas hachnasasa berikia." That's the beginning, tchilas shel shkiyas achama, the beginning of the shkiyah. But using the word the beginning of the shkiyah, what's Rabbeinu Tam in effect implying? There's also a never is a tchila. There's also a sof. Is a sof shkia, or as some Rishonah put it, shkia Rishona and shkia Shnia. Now, what is it, shkia Shnia, according to Rabbeinu Tam? Whatever the astronomy behind it is, it's a working backwards. It's 3/4 of a mil before Tetzach HaKochavim. You have to say something, because the Gemara on Shabbos can't deny the Gemara. So Rabbeinu Tam has, take a typical day, 6 o'clock the sun sets. Rabbeinu Tam says until, take the shortest possible version, until 7:12, it's not Tetzach HaKochavim. 72 minutes later. It's really longer, but this is the shortest version. So what then would be what's called Shkia Shnia? Just work backwards. 13 and a half minutes, which is 3/4 of 18. 13 minutes before 7:12, I think that's 6:58 and a half. Till then, it's not going to believe, till then, according to Benetam, is Vaday Yom. With according to Benetam, if the sun sets at 6 o'clock, coming up in March, you can drive your car, you can drive to shul, b'shek it, till 6:45. No problem. After that, you're already getting close, you know, to the 6:58 and a half mark. You want to have a half an hour till 7 Shabbos, which is accepted in Europe? Fine. Till 6:28, you can drive your car. We would scream, Shabbos! The sun is setting at 6, are you out of your mind? But in Europe, until World War II, there were places where they kept their Rabbeinu Tam's man. And it shouldn't be a surprise. The Shulchan Aruch holds that way. The Ramah holds that way. The Mogen Avraham and the Taz and the Rishonim say that way. Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, Ran, Ravid, they all call Rabbeinu Tam.
And anybody sitting in traffic.
In any event, this is Rabbeinu Tam. I don't believe we have a right to rely on Rabbeinu Tam, even if you're stuck in traffic. It's not the topic for today. I think you have to just get out of your car and either walk, unless pikuach nefesh, walk or have someone have a goy drive your car. But that's not for now. There are those who claim if you're in traffic and rely on Rabbeinu Tam. I find it to be called last week a tata disaster. Every other.
Right.
I'm on to Shabbos, you're already off to the running, you know, but we walk before that. Maybe if you get stuck on Shabbos, on that Shabbos, you have to keep Rabbeinu Tam's mouth. That's for sure. It should be an eternal inconsistency.
Right.
But even that, I want to play with it in Krishna, but Shabbos to me is too.
How about with Rabbeinu Tam on Soy Shabbos?
That's what we spoke about that.
Right, so is there a tactical disaster if you don't hold those Arab Shabbos?
For sure, I'm saying that fellow that's stuck in traffic and he calls his rabbi for his cell phone and says, listen, only one rabbi who can take it till drunk. What's his name? Tom. You know? Well, can I follow Tom? Well, if you're in a pinch, maybe you can follow Tom. But tell him, but this Shabbos, you can't do it with a stitch of malacha until, you know, after 72 minutes after the sun sets. Otherwise, you're in eternal country. You don't have 24 hours of Shabbos. That's crazy. I have to cut Shabbos on both ends. I'm supposed to make him Achim. Lutz of Amarim Lava. The reverse. Meaning America. Anyway, but this is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Again, briefly constructed. I believe that Rabbeinu Tam's man is much longer. My personal belief is Rabbeinu Tam holds from a longer meal, which is 22 and a half minutes, which times 4 gives you 90, which by coincidentally will also take the 5 meal at Tosis times 18 will also give you 90. So my personal view is Rabbeinu Tam holds from the 90 minutes man, which is what the briskas call the achtel. Briskas do things in fractions. The 72 minutes is a tenthel. What does a tenthel mean? A tenth of what? Of that ideal day we started talking about. 6 to 6. We own 12 hours is 720 minutes. So 72 is a tenthel, right? Then 90 is an achtel. The briskas keep 90. And they're super briskas, you're not going to believe this, keep a zextel. A zextel is 2 hours. You can look at that's a lot. 2 is 1/6 of 12. Where'd they get that zextel from? Simple. They took the 5 mil, and they took the brisket shear, the 24 minute mil, and those two seem to go together. Just a brief, they don't go into all the math. The Gemara's in Pesach, there are 40 mil in a day. So if you take 40 mil, lap off 5 at the beginning, lap off 5 at the end. So you're left with a mil of how many mil between the sunrise and sunset? 30. And 30 into 7, 20, with 3 into 72 is 24. So by this quick calculation, you get end up with a zextel. I must tell you that in my earlier years, I thought that the zextel was completely inconceivable, impossible. But later I realized that I justified it. I don't do it. I don't keep the achtel either. But I justified the zextel. There are very few I know who keep. I think I have David Soloveitchik keeps it. The brisker in my community was a rebbe here in our yeshiva, comes from impeccable brisker lineage. He keeps the achtel, to my knowledge. I'm not sure if the Rav even kept the Achtel. The Rav may have only kept the Tzentel. I don't know exactly. The Rav that we used to walk home all the time, late, you know, when he was healthy. But of course, the Nouveau Brisk combines the Achtel with the more proper, in my opinion, way of calculating all these things, which is not depending on the absolute numbers, but depending on the angle of the sun beneath the horizon. Just saw it in this Ramsar yesterday. There was a famous book called by Rabbi Leo Levy, Professor Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Levy, or Professor Leo Levy, who lived in the Heights for many years, who was very active in the Chon Lev, with a PhD in optics, wrote many wonderful books, one of which I bought in English, right? I haven't read in Hebrew, about the challenges of our time, Shari Talmud Torah, all these terrific books. He's really a prolific writer and a very wise man. His first book, I think, was Jewish Chrononomy, as he called it. It was about this man, the Luch, this goes back 40 years ago. It was before it was popular, this whole thing. So, there he said that the real way to calculate it is based on degrees beneath the horizon. So, for example, in the springtime in Yerushalayim, if it's 90 minutes beneath the horizon, you have to calculate that in New York doubly. Number one, based on the latitude, we're further north than Yerushalayim. And number two, based on the season of the year. It will vary between the spring and the summer, for example. So according to that calculation, the latest time Shabbos comes out for the Achtel people, in June, when the sun sets at 8:31, you know, by 9:30 we're out and running, right? 9:30 in an hour, we'll be machmir, right? You want to be 72? All right, so what is it? 8:43, you're already way out. But the briskers who take the Achtel and they extrapolate it end up not being making Abdullah until, listen carefully, not 9:12, which is say in the calendars, not 9:31 for an hour later, not 9:43, but make it 10:55. Till 5 to 11 is still Shabbos. That seems to be the proper, for those who want to, I think that's a proper way to keep it in the time. I'll leave you out, that's excellent, I won't even calculate that. But so it seems that most Jews in America are not keeping it until 10:55 on a June. So what do we rely on? Who are we going with? So the truth is that the Gaonim, who preceded Rabbi Natan, and likely the Rif and the Rambam, who presumably did not go along Rabbi Natan, and two great contemporaries who really changed the minhag in Klal Yisrael, namely the Vilna Gaon and the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, people who were not on the same page in many things. But they said, no, you got it all wrong. Your times are completely wrong. The minute the sun sets beneath the horizon, that's already considered the beginning of what we call the twilight zone, Bein HaShemashos. 3/4 of a mil later, that's already Vaday Laila. That's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos. That's a halachic Gemara on Shabbos. That is a purely halachic Gemara on Shabbos. Look it up. The Gemara in Pesachim Sadei Gimel is fundamentally an astronomical Gemara, a complicated Gemara for calculations of how long the day is. For Derech Rechoka, talks about the Jewish scholars, the non-Jewish scholars, and we said they're more right, we're more wrong. A very fascinating Gemara, doesn't do with halacha at all. Says the Vilna Gaon, when it says in the Gemara there that the stars are not visible until 4 mil after the sun sets beneath the horizon, you know what it means? Is he calls it Seis Kol HaKochav, till all the stars come out. That is halachically irrelevant. Irrelevant. So all you need is 3/4 of a mil to get the three stars. The Vilna Gaon asked the Kashya against Rabbeinu Tam. I'm oversimplifying over here. Says against Rabbeinu Tam, Hachush Machish. Our senses conflict with him. Our senses tell us we can see three stars long before 72 minutes. We're talking much long before. Good. They asked the Vilna Gaon, boomerang. Hachush Machish, the Gaon of Vilna. We look up 13 and a half minutes after the sun sets. Well, you see stars? I don't see any stars. But the Vilna Gaon was a scientist, as we well know. His science is awesome. The Vilna Gaon said, that's what we're in Vilna. Go to Yerushalayim and you'll find three stars in 13 and a half minutes. Bavel. Take your pick, go to Bavel. Nope, we live in Vilna. No one was taking a plane to fly to Yerushalayim. So no, take the Vilna Gaon on faith. Okay. Jews moved to Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, and there were people who were trying to follow the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon's Tanya were very active in there. And they looked for stars. They couldn't find any stars. They just couldn't find any. Where are they? Rav Tukhachinsky, or the whole Sefer Golben HaShemashos, he couldn't find any stars at 13. The earliest that he could find them, I believe, was, 21 minutes or something like that. Which is, that's more than 3/4 of a mil, even according to the biggest mil. And the Gaon presumably held to the 18th mil. What's going on? Okay. So, Professor Levy, He went to Yerushalayim too. He was a Sardis scientist. He said, if you know where to look for stars, you can find stars 15 minutes after the sun sets. Now we're getting really, really close to the building up. There's a beautiful two-volume sefer called Hazmanim Bahaloch. It came out fairly recently. I wrote from B'nai Brak. And he has some Talmidim who were in the army. So, you know, when you get bored in the army, somewhere in the Negev, when there's no natural light at all, it's also very important. Natural light. Tell me when you see stars. So the Talmud looked up. I hope he was watching the border also, whatever he was watching. But he had time to look up. He said, I find stars 14 minutes after the sun. It's not even a science, it's a plain chayal. So, no. Chacham Odif Minov, the Vilna never was zocheh to be in Eretz. He tried to go, he never came. He was on, right on. This proves that the Vilna Gaon was a Gaon beyond all Gaon. Alright? So, this is the reality, the facts, based upon people like you know, contemporaries of us, a chayal. He saw the three stars in 14 minutes. Of course, the Vilna takes much longer. How much longer? Well, if you ask Professor Levy, he'll give you a chart and tell you what it is in Vilna, tell you what it is in New York. And you just do the angle of the sun beneath the horizon. That is the correct Zman. That's the correct Zman. What is that Zman in New York? So it's more than 13 and a half minutes. In the springtime, I believe, it's 18 minutes. In the winter, it gets a little bit longer. It's counterintuitive. If you look at the science there, it takes 21 minutes. And in the summertime, if I'm not mistaken, it takes 25 minutes. If I'm not mistaken, 25 minutes is the highest it gets, the 13 and a half minute extrapolated. I mean, it's almost twice as much in the summertime in New York City. That's it, according to Shita Sagra Atzmo. After that, there's no problem. And the Rav fundamentally held from the Shia. Fundamentally. And when it came to certain other areas, I mean, he for himself, he got totally waited forever. But for the Olam, he was very lenient in his manner. Of, I know I was there for the summer after a fast. He was very late. He didn't go for it. Shabbos was he held up with the Rabbeinu Tamsman. Rav Tukhachinsky, however, says, listen, this is for scientists. For we have to follow. We can see with our own eyes. And he went to Yerushalayim. It wasn't like today, Yerushalayim, where they had you know so much artificial light. Yerushalayim Rav Tukhachinsky 100 years ago was you know a backwater. You know? So I think it's certainly advisable. We should try to be strict whenever possible, at least when it comes to derises, even if you follow the Vilna Gaon, I'm not discussing following the Rebbe Tam, to take the, when he saw three stars. And he saw three stars, it was a later time. I think it was 21 minutes in the springtime, and I think it was 24 in the wintertime, and 26 perhaps in the summertime. I'm giving approximations, which translate in New York City time, the latest it gets in the summer is 34 minutes. So you may have seen in your calendars that it says Sabbath comes in last week, what was it, 5:04, whatever it was, and goes out at 6:04. You know, an hour after the Lichtbench in 18 minutes before, that comes from the Urayim sheet that we want to go into that now. That's really, I mean, in most homes, that's not, we shouldn't talk too loud, we don't keep that spot. In my house, it's a rarity that the candles are lit before that so-called cutoff. Always running late. But anyway, that's the official time in every print in every calendar, 18 or 20 minutes before. And an hour afterwards, it's considered the Oist Shabbos. Sour Shabbos is all. Where'd that come from? This is what I was told history is. They were keeping earlier Zmanim in New York and most of America before that time. And I'm justifying the earlier Zmanim. The Satmar Rebbe came here. He said, what are you guys, crazy? You're keeping me Mechal Shabbos. They said, you're back then. You're also crazy. You're Mechal Shabbos. You're keeping a satna time, they drive their cars after Shkia. They made a deal with the chumras of both. The deal was that the satna stopped driving on Friday afternoon, which they stopped. You don't find that in any community, you'll find people driving anywhere in the world, as a matter of fact, after the sun sets. Maybe isolated pockets, but really almost doesn't exist. But he wanted it. She drove a hard bargain. You guys can't take showers at half an hour after the sun sets. It's still perfectly light outside. They made a bargain. He probably would have wanted 72 minutes. He knew he couldn't get it. He settled for 42 minutes. That's where the Yagudas Rabbanim, post-World War II, made this deal that all the calendars will say it's an hour between Lichtbench and the time the Shabbos goes out. This way, people can easily remember it. I like 42 minutes, because after all, I'm taking the longest amount is 34 minutes. I have to give a little bit of a bargain here and there to make a mistake on the clock. Plus, if 34 minutes when you see three stars, it says that the Talmud Yerushalmi had three stars is enough for Kriya Shema, for other areas in the Halacha. But for Shabbos, because of Tosef Shabbos, you need three stars in one place, for Tzufim. Not three stars, one star here, one star there, for Tzufim. That takes another few minutes. So I like 42. I think 42 really is the Ikar's man for Motzei Shabbos. That's the Ikar's man. So those who keep that man, I have no quibble with that. Nonetheless, Rav Moshe said something incredible, which we have to talk about briefly. Rav Moshe said, listen, I don't know about Rav Netam. I look out the window on the balcony at FDR Drive, and I can see stars between 45 and 50 minutes after the sun sets. That's the man. Even Rav Netam would agree to that. See three stars. He's giving me an estimate. I see three stars with my own eyes. And based on that, he made a whole new math. He made an SAT kind of a prorated, you know. If 72 now that turned into 50, so everything else, so 13 and a half turned into 9. Everything got literally a new math. The Rav Moshe Feinstein, a new math, which most persons don't accept. It's interesting that this is already anticipated by the Minchas Kohen, who lives in Amsterdam. And he was father of Enatam, and he said, I see stars long before 72. So he said, you know, yeah, it's true. In Amsterdam, I see stars in 50 minutes. And I went to Yerushalayim, it would take me 72. He was not the sergeant at the Vilna Gaon, so he was a big Talmud Chacham. But backwards, you know, he never was able to be Yerushalayim either. He just didn't know the science. Anyway, so these are very important zman. I want to talk about the next, we're supposed to stop now, maybe the next year. Is according to the read that we started with, what exactly is the cutoff? He said, Mib'od Yom. Now, the read was Rabbi Natan's nephew. Presumably, he followed his uncle Shia, right? His uncle Shita. What does Rashi hold? It's not clear in Rashi. There are indications in Rashi on Adaf that base that Rashi held against his grandson Rabbi Natan. Because Rashi says, for example, Rashi, just to show you what an interesting idea, Rashi talks about when people are beginning to eat. That's the Gemara talks about over here. And Rashi talks about an individual who has to start eating because he has no candle. I cannot find the Rashi right now. It's on Beis and Beis. But Rashi, here it is. Misha'ani, the third narrow line. She'ein lo ner lahadlik b'sudasa. And that is Tesek HaChavim, approximately. Now, if you're Rabbeinu Tam, once his Tesek HaChavim, if you have no candle, you're dead. You can't see a thing. So this is an indication that Rashi may hold like the Vilna Gaon, that 13 and a half minutes or so after Shkia is already says, and then you can see. There's no candle, you can still see. That's one indication. There are other contraindications now. But the big question is when we go back to that base, Amar Aleph, I should say, we never got to Gimel, we're not supposed to get to it, but we got to the base Amar Aleph. But Rabbi, when the Re said that there are these other times, will we follow Hani Tanoi? The Gemara, Shashakir Shayom, Ober the Chasan that Chasan Tzudas Erev Shabbos, he also made Beod Yom, who may also show Havis Man Tfila. What do you mean, Man Tfila? Tfila, he's talking about, it's Pasa B'Kriya Shem B'Siyim B'Tfila. That's a big problem. What's going on over here? If it's just a matter of Zman Shechiva, it could be in the middle of Noah, anytime. But Tfila? We're talking about Tfila. Tfila Man Tachash, we're talking about Kriya Shem over here. So you get an impression that the Re is referring to some kind of particular Zman. We're not clear exactly what's flying. I want to make one more comment, which is I believe Rabbi Natan is the Shitoso. Rabbi Natan, who is so makel to say Shema, Plag HaMincha, is the Shitoso. Since he holds that Seis is so late, Seis, therefore, is the parallel of Alos. Alos is 4, or maybe even 5 mil before sunrise, and Seis is 4, or maybe 5 mil after sunset. I have a beautiful way to calculate the day from Alos, which is the beginning of the day halachically, for sure, until Seis, which is the beginning of the Vayda Laila halachically. It's so symmetrical, it's so perfect, it's so beautiful. That's how he counts. So Plag HaMincha, which we'll get to maybe next week, is an hour and a quarter. We mentioned this last time. It's an hour and a quarter before dark. According to Benetam, it's an hour and a quarter before Tzeis Kochavim, which is, that's like 72 minutes, but just it's wrong, but approximately 72 minutes. So take back an hour and a quarter, it gives you 75 minutes. So how much time is there between Plag and what we call astronomical sunset? How many minutes are there? Three. And the Ramban and all those who follow say it's a shtus mil. What's a shtus mil? A sixth of a mil. What's that at first glance? 3 minutes. It's all wrong, by the way, but it's with an approximation. 3 is 1/6 of 18. So he's the shitaso. So if someone says Kriya Shema let's say an hour before the sun has to be at the horizon. Yeah, so you have to plug a mincha. That's after our plug a mincha. We follow the Vilna Gaon. Our day is we calibrate, let's say, in Krishma. It's Man Krishma. We count from sunrise to sunset. We have a latest Man Krishma. What they call the Mogan Avraham's man is really Rabbeinu Tam's man. He's counting from Alos to Tzedek, which is at least 36 minutes earlier, maybe even more. We'll get to that later. So just point out that Rabbeinu Tam was in Shittos. But the Ri is still an enigma. What is this cutoff? It's not exactly clear. And how will they contend with the Tata Disaster? So perhaps next week we'll talk about this. Out of the show. Tremendous for Dr. Davis to get here. I'm sure.